I knew that my work was good, but I felt like because I wasn't popular, like I felt like I didn't deserve to go up on my rates. And that's something that's not true. Just because someone is more popular than you via, you know, followers or being a socialite within your community or in your city does not mean that their skill is better than yours. Okay. That does not mean anything.
It's not a bad idea to look at your prices every year and consider like inflation and any environmental like costs, like, for example, COVID, you know, or whatever is going on in the economy.
Welcome to
The Beauty Boss Confidential.
My name is Ren, and I'm a beauty blogger, new mom, makeup artist, and owner of my own makeup academy in Atlanta, Georgia.
My name is Nalani, and I'm a cosmetic tattoo artist and instructor. I run a busy permanent makeup studio and academy in Atlanta as well, and also manage a small team.
We're two modern women
trying to juggle it all,
from building our empire
to being a wife
and navigating being a new mom,
all while making time for ourselves.
We're here to share with you the behind the scenes
of what it's really like to run a successful beauty business,
from marketing to business strategies
and trying to find that perfect work-life balance.
Let's dive right in.
Hey guys, it's Nalani and
Ren,
back with another episode. And this week I am going to talk about how to know what to charge and when to increase. So a few weeks ago, I did do a little Instagram post on what topics did my Instagram audience wanted to hear on the podcast. And this was one of the ones that came up. So obviously there are many, many factors to think about when you do set your rate. Some of the things is obviously like the quality of your work. Number one, the quality of your work. Number two would be how much time it takes. Also, how meticulous you are and the amount of education investment that you have put in your profession. So that's not limited to. There's also other factors such as marketing online apps or online booking system, and if you have your own studio, it's utilities, things like that. So there's a lot involved when you're trying to factor in your price. So I'm going to talk more about like the brow world, because that's what I'm doing right now. And Ren, maybe you can touch on more of the makeup world. Okay, so in the brow world, what I looked for when I first started doing brows was I looked at the current market that I was in Atlanta, what was kind of like the going rate for brows for like a new artist. So I had zoned that down anywhere between $300 and $350, and that did not include touch-up. I always charge a very minimal fee for the touch-up, just because there was an instance where I did touch-ups all week and I did not get paid. So by small amount, I mean $50 or $75 for the touch-up, because it's a two-part service, right? So I looked at the Atlanta market, and this was about 2015. Anything below $300, in my opinion, will devalue you. And I personally do not believe in running any Groupon codes or ads, because you will always, why would you put yourself down as a discounted artist? I just personally don't believe in that. Because let's keep it real, the education for the brow business is pretty, you know, it's a huge investment, but you do make that investment back pretty quickly if you keep at it. So I looked at my going rate for the Atlanta area, and I wasn't the cheapest one, and I wasn't the most expensive one. So I was the one maybe a little less than the most expensive one. And so I was comfortable with starting at around $300 and or $350 with like a $50 or $75 touch up, right? So as time progressed, when I knew when to increase was when I started, my goal was to get at least one client a week. And that's a very realistic goal. So when I was getting one client a week consistently, and then that one client turned into two turned into three. So then I realized that my services were in demand. When I started also getting inquiries daily, that's how I knew that people were getting to know. I have now transitioned from makeup artist to brow artist. So then I started getting booked out a month in advance. So I started to identify these trends, like, okay, I'm getting a little busier. So it took me one full year to actually completely quit makeup and do brows full time. And that decision was very hard for me to make because I almost felt like I was just, you know, giving up on makeup. But had I not expanded my schedule, I don't think I would have reached this level of success as fast as I did, just because if I was limited to doing makeup, and for instance, if my schedule was 12:30 and 3 o'clock for brows, and somebody asked me to do makeup at 2, then that means 2 slots were already taken. So I had to make that hard decision to open up, to completely quit makeup and open up my brow schedule, which was honestly the best decision I made, because had I not done that, I would have been still in my makeup box. So anyway, it took me about one full year to do brows full time. And that's from someone that came from a makeup artist background. That's a pretty slow but realistic growth being a brow artist. So for anybody that's like been doing brows for like 3 months, like, it will come. Like, this is a kind of a slow and steady industry. So you just have to keep at it and be consistent and have a little bit of patience, because it's all about the healed results. But when I started being into a year of doing eyebrows, that's when I started increasing on my rates. So you want to start. So number one, when you start, the demand, the supply and demand, it starts to increase, right? Number two, go slow with increasing your rate. You want to start increasing it like $25 or $50. And I don't really announce it when I increase my rates. I just do it. Like, if you want to say something like, oh, rates will be going up in the fall, like, do something kind of broad like that and not give like the exact amount or the exact time frame. It kind of leaves a little bit of mystery for the audience, like, oh, I better book now. It can, you know, change at any time. So increase it, go slow, increase it at a little bit of time. So that way it doesn't, you know, shock your audience or shock your potential clients. And it doesn't shock you, because when you increase your rate, I know that feeling. It's kind of like, oh my God, is this too much? Should I do it now? Like, I don't know what to do. I feel like I'm getting better, but how do my clients feel? So you're kind of going through that dialogue. You're going through that dialogue in your own head. So if you increase it little by little, like, you'll get warm up to the idea as well. Ren, have you had a situation where, when did you know that you wanted to increase your rates with makeup, and how did you do it?
Yeah, I definitely started to increase my rates as I got more clients, because, you know, you have to kind of prove to your audience that you're worth the money. And the way that I did it is I had a portfolio that showed my work. So when I was new, because I was just trying to like build my clientele, like, I didn't have a huge portfolio. But by the time I was like really booked, like, my portfolio showed really good work, really good quality. And like, I could pick and choose my clients a little bit more. That means that you can raise your rate. You know what I'm saying? Because you can kind of demand a higher quality of work and a higher revenue for it. And I do think that it's not a bad idea to look at your prices every year and consider like inflation and any environmental like costs, like, for example, COVID, you know, or whatever's going on in the economy, because like, that's fair. Like look at MAC eyeshadow, you know what I mean? The price continues to increase as like the years go on because of like inflation and cost of living and all that different stuff. So it's definitely something that you should look at, I would say, at least on a yearly basis.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That actually brings me to my next point, is review your work in 6 months. Keep yourself accountable. Review your work in 6 months and 1 year as well. Do a biannual review. Keep track of how many clients you've had and keep track of who's referring you. So the best form, they always say the best compliment is referrals, and that still holds truth to me. So anytime that somebody comes in, I do ask them on the paperwork, like, how did you hear about me? And I further the conversation because sometimes it's like Instagram, you know, and sometimes it's like from a friend. So I want to know more. I want to dig a little deeper. Like, who's your friend? Did she come get it through me? Like, and sometimes it's, you know, someone that I did do eyebrows for, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's a makeup artist that I developed a relationship with like 6 years ago. I met at an event one time and we follow each other on Instagram. Sometimes it's from the most random people. Like, you have to ask these questions when your clients come in because you need to know what works. So you want to keep track of yourself and celebrate your milestones. I did a photo shoot when I hit 1,000 procedures, and most of the time people are happy for you when you hit those milestones. So keep track of your clients and the number of procedures you've done or the number of faces you've done, if you've done makeup or lashes. Like, you want to celebrate those wins because, you know, your clients don't know how many people you've done. Your clients don't keep track. You know, they see you doing makeup or brows, but they don't really know. So it's up to you to make sure you keep track of those milestones and celebrate it together. And it shows how experienced you are as well. I mean, you don't have to do a fancy photo shoot, but it is a big deal when you hit a certain milestone, and you should celebrate it. So I want to say that don't be scared to go up in your rates if you see the demand for it. I definitely struggle with it as well, because my fear was like, oh my gosh, are they going to come back to me? Or, you know, am I worth it? Is my work good enough? But, you know, when the traffic comes, it shows, you know, like when you start seeing, when you continue to get busier and busier, that means you're in demand. Like, that means you can go up in a little bit. And like I said, go up little by little, get your feet wet. You don't have to do a big jump. And if you feel like, you know, you did too much of a big jump, then guess what? You can always come back down. So I would say review it 6 months, review it in a year. And you always have to keep, if you're consistently doing brows or providing a service, you should always go up, because like Ren said, like inflation, like the economy is always going to go up. Louis Vuitton goes up, Chanel goes up. Like, you got to put yourself in that Louis Vuitton, Chanel, you know, category. Like, I don't believe in discounts, and I don't believe in specials. I just never done it, and I've been fine, you know. And another thing that I struggled with as well was I knew that my work was good, but I felt like because I wasn't popular, like I felt like I didn't deserve to go up on my rates. And that's something that's not true. Just because you're popular doesn't mean you're good. And Ren, would you agree with that?
Yeah, like that means nothing. You know, like I remember hearing someone say, like, there was somebody who had like hundreds and thousands of subscribers, but they were like, you know, homeless and like living out of their car. It's just, you don't really know what that means in real life. So you have to go with the quality and like reviews and testimonials, like real proof of your work.
Yeah. And like, I'm going to say it again. Just because you're popular does not mean you're a good artist. That's just, I want to take it back to high school. There's always like the popular crew, and then there's always like the underdog, the not so popular ones, right? So just because someone is more popular than you via, you know, followers or being a socialite within your community or in your city does not mean that their skill is better than yours. Okay. That does not mean anything. Your skill is your skill. So that's why they have you might be an undiscovered talent. That's why they have shows like American Idol, so they can find these like small town singers and put them in the limelight. So if there's an analogy that you should think about, that should be it. You are undiscovered talent that and nobody knows about you yet. Okay. So you should charge based on your skill level. Another thing to consider is that things to factor in your price is your professionalism. So for instance, I'm going to use a hotel as an example. Holiday Inn Express versus a Ritz. They both provide a space over your head while you're traveling. What makes the Ritz more expensive? It's probably their customer service, their cleanliness, right? So the same thing with your facility. Someone is probably maybe working at a back of, you know, the back of like a hair salon or whatever. And that's fine. You know, we all have humble beginnings, but someone down the street has a full blown marble floor. They have to factor in their price with that. The rent that they're paying, they have to factor that in. And also the customer service that they're providing, they have to factor that in as well. You have one person that maybe they do stuff manually, you know, and I did that as well. And that reflected in my rate. But now I have a booking system where I have P manages everyone's schedule. So he has to be factored in as well. So you can't compare apples to oranges. You have to compare apples to apples here. So these are the underlying costs that you have to consider when putting in your price. So don't cheapen your value. Now, another thing to keep in mind, another question I have for you, Ren, is do you base your price on skill or experience?
You know what? I kind of do it a little bit different. I base it on what the perceived value of my services from the client's perspective. So if like my portfolio and my website and my work show that it's like high quality, then they'll be willing to pay more. Like you said, like if you have a fancy salon versus like maybe like you're like, you don't really have your own location and your kit's not looking up to par, like you can't charge because you just don't have that associated brand around it. Mm. So the reason why my brand has gotten up to like a higher quality level is because I have the skill level to produce a good portfolio. And then also because I've taken the time to invest in my business and the way that it looks. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're a little bit, your setup is a little bit more professional.
Yeah. And some people will value a service more than others. Like some people, for example, like if they're getting married and they're getting bridal makeup done, they think like the makeup is the number one thing that's most important to me. Like I'll get married in my backyard, but I have to feel like supermodel for the day. So if they put a high dollar value on that and you can give that to them, then that's what you can charge. But if someone's more like treating it as like a commodity, like, oh, it's just like getting like my nails done. Like it's nothing special. It just should be cheap. You know, it's just a different kind of client. So it just depends on what your client perceives that they're getting out of the service. And then that, for that reason, some clients aren't for your price point.
Yeah, I love that you said that, because like I said before, your people will always be your people. And I base it off of like me personally. Like I, as I've gotten older, I personally pay for convenience and comfort. Like I want to be comfortable when I travel. So guess what? I mean, I don't have to stay at like a freaking 5-star hotel every time, but I need to know that when I get in that shower, I'm clean. I need to know that they have white sheets and there's no bed bugs. But back when I was 20 years old, no, we packed, you know, when we traveled, me and my friends, there was 6 people in a bed because that was all that we could afford, you know? So it depends what you give your clients. It's like, it determines like what kind of clients that you want to attract. So if your work is, let's say, you know, you're kind of mediocre, you know, you're not the best artist, but your customer service is on point, I bet you that client will not care. You know, they won't even notice that your brows are mediocre. But if they come in, you got the candles going, you take your time greeting them, you make sure you give them a bottle of Voss water, like you make sure that you set the mood, like they're going to remember how you made them feel more than what you did, in my opinion. And I know that when I travel, I always remember how the hotel made me feel versus maybe, you know, the marble floor that's in their bathroom. It's always the customer service. It's always the way the concierge greets me. It's always the way the employees say hi when I walk in the hallway. And to me, I put more value in that than, you know, just you want to have a good experience when you go somewhere. And that's the same way you should treat your facility and your customer service experience. So you have to know your worth, and you have to know what kind of clients you want to attract. And like I said before, your people will always be your people. And the people that don't value the same things that you do, they will slowly weed themselves out, and you need to be okay with that. Another thing I want to add is, as far as skill or experience, is that just because you might not be in business for X amount of years doesn't mean you're good. Like I said before, there's always undiscovered natural talent. So you can be someone that's doing eyebrows for like 6 months or doing makeup for 6 months, but you could be such a great artist. You surpass someone that's been doing it for 5 years. And I see this time and time again. So don't view that you're, you know, a newbie in the game, quote unquote, and downplay your skill and charge the, you know, minimal. Don't do that. Like, you need to know how good you are. And I promise you, clients will just look at your work and they're not even going to question. They're not going to ask you for your resume. They're not going to be like, how long have you been doing this? They're going to look at your portfolio and see how good you are, and they're going to pay for that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, totally. I think that you can bust your butt and like grind it out in 6 months and get that bomb portfolio because you're just like super passionate and a hard worker. And then someone could be doing it for years, like kind of part time and just not really as active. And it's totally different. But the portfolio definitely speaks to your level of skill, like you were saying. So if you have a bomb portfolio, that's what they're paying for. They don't care how long you've been in the business. They just want to see good work.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, don't use your experience or the number of years you've been in business and think that, oh, just because I just started, I can't charge this much. Like, don't look at it that way. You got to know how good you are, and you got to know your supply and demand. And like I said, keep increasing by, you know, just a little bit of, at a time, and kind of fill it out. You know, nothing's permanent. So yeah, that's really all I have to say about increasing your rate. Don't be scared to charge your worth. Look at everything that goes into your rates. That's including your customer service, your products, you know, the place you're working out of. Go slow, charge maybe increase it every 6 months or a year, and increase it $25 to $50 at a time, and keep track of your milestones. So that way, you know that you have experience. If you're the numbers person, that's going to let you know that, you know, you're in demand. So it's always good to have like a visual representation of the number of procedures or faces you've done. So do you have anything else, Ren? I think that's it for me.
I think that's really good advice. Like, the milestones thing, I think, is such a good idea. And that's a new way of kind of showing your value to your customers. I just want to add in, because I have so many new artists that, like, I train at the Makeup Academy, that you will evolve. And as you evolve, you'll have a client every step of the way. So if you're new and you're just getting started and you're charging less, there's a client there. But as you grow, your clients will grow with you. And some of my students are afraid to charge, and they think, my friends wouldn't pay that. But you do sometimes outgrow your circle, and you want to reach for, you know, the quality to match the price. So don't undersell yourself, and also don't undercut the market. Like, you do have to do your research, like you were saying, and see what the current market is going for as a baseline, because that's like one of the biggest pet peeves is like when other artists see such low prices, it really hurts everybody.
It does. That is a very good point. And I've seen this in the, like, the lash industry. I remember when lashes came out and it was like $250 to get like a full set. Now people are charging what, like $80, maybe $80 to $100 for a full set. And it's because those people who are undercutting the market, and now it's like, oh, I can't raise my prices because, you know, that's not what the going rate. But did you take a look at what you charge in the beginning? Like, it's because you didn't see your value and you went way below the market. So that's a really good point that you made. I like that.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, guys. So I hope that you guys were able to see your value and really just take a look and reflect, do some self-reflection. Hey guys, real quick, it's Nalani here. I wanted to remind you guys that I do have a beginners and advanced training for eyebrows coming up here in Atlanta. If you want more information, you can hop on my website at beautybot.com or slide in my DMs on the gram at beautybot. So if you want to raise your prices, I know we're in the summer about to lead into the fall right now, but you guys have to start thinking about your 2021 rates and just know your value. And I mean, this is how you make your living. So you just got to increase it little by little, and you got to pay your bills, man. You got to pay your bills. So in summary, I hope you guys was able to find this episode very helpful. If you guys have any questions at all, slide in our DMs and we'll be more than happy to help you out. Until next time, stay cute and confident.
Thanks for joining us on the Beauty Boss Confidential.
If you love this episode, go ahead and screen record your favorite part and tag us on Instagram. I'm Nalani at BeautyBot.
And I'm Ren at Makeup by RenRen.
We would love to hear from you.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. And please give us a 5-star rating and tell all your beauty bosses.
Thanks again for tuning in.
And we'll catch you next time.